The Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Prezel. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. On the phone with me is Michelle Miller. Her new novel is called The Underwriting, and boy, what a hot story it is about tech startups and the financing of such. Michelle Miller, welcome to The Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on.
It must be high praise to have Kirkus say this is a more intricate Devil Wears Prada for the tech generation. That's quite high praise you've been getting for The Underwriting. How does it feel?
Oh, it is incredible to describe. I can't even describe it. It's just so nice. You live in a room by yourself and have so much anxiety about how it's going to be received. So it's really overwhelming to get such positive reviews.
This started out as a serial. Explain how and why that you decided a serial form was something that, as a writer, you wanted to explore.
Yeah, I am really fascinated with the serial tradition. You know, it's how Dickens published and Henry James and even Bonfire of the Vanities was initially a serial in the back of Rolling Stone magazine. And so I was really interested in exploring that form and sort of reviving it for the digital age, if you will. I think it's a fun form to write in because you have these cliffhangers and you have these short chunks that feel very digestible as a reader, but you also get an ongoing relationship with a character.
Now, this started out, the Underwriting started out in serial form online and supported by venture capital. It was venture capital backed, at least. How did that come about?
Right. So I have a very corporate background, and so not understanding how publishing worked, I just sort of did what I knew how to do, which was make a startup out of it. And so I raised money from some great angel investors and built a website. And yes, every week we released an episode. We called them episodes. They were free for 24 hours to read on the browser, or it could be purchased as text and audio files. And then we had brand sponsors every week. We had DJ playlist. There was art and photography, and a lot of transmedia elements that I think are really fun to play with when you're working on the web. And the idea was really to try and get people to read fiction during their commutes and also during their lunch hours when they were stuck at their desks.
Well, this looks at both the tech startup world and the financial world, and it talks about Wall Street playboy Todd Kent, based in New York. One of his colleagues, Tara Taylor, is another main character in the investment banking side of things. And this is something that's close to your heart, Michelle, I understand, because you had been working in finance for some years before you became decided to become a writer.
Yes, yes. I was an associate in the Palo Alto office of J.P. Morgan's private bank. So I was helping to manage the wealth of the ultra high net worth individuals in the light of the Facebook IPO.
So this is a look at a young startup and these young millennials who are becoming, what do they call them, 100 millionaires, basically, as these startups are sold in IPOs, the initial public offerings. And it's an interesting insight into that generation and that newfound wealth. And there's a couple of places in the Underwriting where you talk about the young millennials and who become those 100 millionaires at such a young age. And the whole book seems to shed light on something that I think a lot of people don't stop to think about. You, as a millennial, was this something that you saw as a need? You needed to tell the story of your generation and try to explain some of their motivations here?
Yeah, I think there was. I like that you pointed that out. I graduated from Stanford in 2006, which was this funny year where the really alpha kids with great GPAs were elbowing for jobs at Lehman Brothers, and the people who had a little bit more balance in their lives were sort of kicking it in Palo Alto to work for this little company called Facebook. And you fast forward 10 years, and the guys at Lehman Brothers lost their jobs, and the guys at Facebook made $50 million. And I think that that's really important because I think it's an underpinning to this millennial ethos of life is never works out the way that you expect it to, and you can't bank on a path leading to, you know, it's, we don't have our parents' lives. It's not going to lead to a certain outcome. And so there is this notion of you might as well do what you like and go find meaning at a younger age.
Speaking with Michelle Miller, her novel is The Underwriting. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.com. Org. It is a very insightful look and a riveting page turner telling the tale of a tech startup and the financing behind it. And Michelle, we were talking about the difference in the generations. There's a scene in the underwriting where you have Tara, the young investment banker, tear into one of the older clients. Tara saying that, well, you are the generation from the Vietnam War, and you ruined the world. We're the ones that are trying to fix it. And it is very incisive social commentary there. Did you enjoy getting that off your chest?
I think I had I just come from a dinner where I'd been completely millennial bashed. You know, there was so much millennial bashing. So I do think that scene did come off of a very personal experience. You know, to me, I think that every generation has the same characters. You always have people who are going to be incredibly driven and do great things, and you always have people who are going to be a little bit lazy. And I think the previous generation had that, and I think we've got that. But I do get frustrated with some of the millennial bashing, because I don't think that it's warranted. I think that some of the startups that I see are really, really changing the world in very important ways. So I think that scene, I did really want to defend us for a moment.
Well, Ed, there are many different confrontations in your novel, the underwriting, and it's interesting to see. You know, I called it a riveting page turner, and that's exactly what it is, because it does, in that serial form from chapter to chapter, carry you along and look at the process for putting together an IPO from the financial side. It looks at what the tech people are going through, and you even have a commentary on the imbalance in Silicon Valley, but with, I think, in the, what is it, Hook is the name of the app that is being put up for the IPO. It's a dating app to hook up with people who are nearby on your mobile phone, at least fictionally in here. And it talks about how that world, that tech world, is mainly male dominated. And there's a lot of you fight for the girls in here too, Michelle.
Right. I wanted to talk about, you know, I think gender politics are very nuanced now, and I think 20 years ago it was a very clear fight, and now it is much more tricky. I compare it, I think it used to be hockey, and now it's ice skating, and it's still slippery, and there's still ice, but it's a little bit more, requires a little bit more grace, I guess, to navigate. I do think that the differences between Wall Street and Silicon Valley are very different in terms of gender politics. And it's been nice in the last 6 months or so to see a lot of the gender discrimination that I do think is more overt in Silicon Valley come to light.
Well, you point out in the novel, though, you talk about the difference of that inequity between New York and Silicon Valley, where it's different. In New York, it's old and ingrained, I think one of your characters say.
Yes, suits versus hoodies, right?
Right.
But underlying the same sort of drive for power and ego, to be honest.
I saw in an interview somewhere you had done previously where you talked about writing about the different characters. There's, I don't know, a handful, better than a handful of the main characters that we follow all the way through the book. And you said in the interview that depending on your mood each day, depended on which character you wrote about. Talk about that.
Oh, I think it was the reverse, depending on my character, was my mood.
Oh! Okay.
My process, I don't know about other writers, but for me, it's very much about getting completely into the character. I almost relate to method actors in that way, where I just get so absorbed in understanding who my character is and try and really embody them and see what they see and observe what they observe and feel how they feel. And so that leads to really emotionally tumultuous experience when I'm writing. And I think I was saying, you know, no one wants to be around me when I've been writing from the perspective of Nick Winthrop, because I'm just not a good person. But but when I'm writing from Amanda, who's one of my flightier, girly party girls, then I'm always a lot of fun. So you got to catch me on the right day.
Well, there are, you know, we've talked about the number of different topics that pop up in the underwriting, the financial aspect of things, the tech startups. But there's also a little mystery tossed in. Why did you decide a little mystery would lend itself well to the story here in the underwriting?
Yeah, definitely. So there's a girl dies, which happens in the first chapter, so that's not too much of a spoiler alert. But I was very interested in exploring the safety of location-based dating apps. In particular, I think that, clearly data security and information is becoming a big buzzword, but the ones that are particularly interesting to me are these ones where we give away our location. And how does that data get managed, and who are the people who are managing that data, and how secure is it, and where can that lead to bad behavior, especially when you're talking about things like Tinder and Grindr that are overtly sexual. Does that leave us vulnerable? And I wanted to explore that.
Well, with all these issues, were there any issues you feel that you didn't explore as far as you'd like in the underwriting, and or might do it in the future?
Yeah, so the underwriting does end on a big cliffhanger, so there are more to come. I'm working on the sequel right now, and the sequel delves into some other hot topics in Silicon Valley and Wall Street. So explores different characters, but along the same theme of this relationship between finance and startups.
So in the underwriting, I gained a lot of insight into both the investment banking side of things and to tech startups and what's happening there, into Wall Street and the culture and in the Silicon Valley. But at times I wondered, how true does the story in the underwriting ring, Michelle? I mean, how much of it is reality and how much fiction? Because I can imagine a lot of it is reality as portrayed in your book.
Definitely. I think the characters are very real, and it's been nice once it got out there and people who work within both of the worlds started reading it and did confirm that they feel very, that the characters feel very real and true to life. So I hope that I've captured that. It is certainly a satire, but I hope it's a compassionate satire in the sense that I hope that reading it makes you understand the context of a lot of these characters that we see in the news all the time. I think that the nonfiction world paints people in such black and white strokes, and you're either a hero or you're a villain. And I think, in fact, most people are somewhere in between, and their context lead them to do or good or bad things. And so I really wanted to explore that tricky ambiguity of these characters on Wall Street and Silicon Valley.
Michelle Miller, author of The Underwriting. The question we ask here on the book club at 91.7 is, what are you reading? So, Michelle, what are you reading?
I'm going to throw an answer that you're not going to expect. I'm actually reading the Book of Genesis right now with my parents, which has been so lovely. It's a fun thing to delve back into this text that has really informed so much literature.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, and thanks for your book too, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Michelle Miller, her book is called The Underwriting, a novel about a tech startup and the investment banking behind it. You can find more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.
Keep in touch with the Book Club at 91.7 on the web, through Facebook, email, and the WVXU.org website. On the WVXU Facebook page, just click on the Book Club tab for up-to-date book happenings and show info. Ask a question or comment on what you've heard on the Book Club at 91.7 by emailing book@wvxu.org. And visit WVXU's website for more information about the books and authors you hear about on the program, and to listen to podcasts of the show. Bibliomaniacs, unite! The Book Club at 91.7, on the air Saturday mornings, and on the web all the time, on Facebook, on email, book@wvxu.org, and at wvxu.org.
You've been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Technical director is Bruce Ellis. Producer is Kevin Reynolds. Music director and segment engineer is Rick Andres. Web guru is Jim Nolan. And our announcer is Robin Carey Allgaier. I'm Mark Purcell. Cincinnati's southern neighbor, Covington, is marking its bicentennial, and part of the celebration is the book Covington at 200, a conversation with the editors of that book. And Michael Blanding shares the true story of the man who stole millions of dollars in rare maps. He shares a story in his book, The Map Thief, and you'll hear about it all next Saturday on the Book Club at 91.7. It's Weekend Edition next on 91.7 WVXU.